Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank God for another day that He has made. God is mightily moving by His Spirit. I want to see Him move in greater and greater ways. The Lord is getting to something. The more people He has that will fully obey Him, you will see the more of His miraculous handiwork manifesting. And He'll do it through people who will obey Him. And I'm going to tell you why I say this. We bear fruit after our kind. And I've said it before that when people, the things of God are new to many people because the enemy has blinded people. And they don't know that God moves like we see Him move. They don't know that people are getting, there are many people in the world, they don't know that God is truly healing people of all manner of diseases. It just depends on where you went to church, how you believe. Some people believe that their healing is up to God and they die. I saw a lady, a sweet lady singing on TV last night. It was on the channel 10 channel. It's another channel now, but it's still PBS. Yeah. And she died a year ago with cancer. And she said that, she was happy because she knew that she was just like Paul. If I live, I live to the Lord. If I die, I die. I'm going to heaven. So she was still happy on the inside. But she died of the cancer. And it was like, if God heals me, then I'll live. As if it was up to God, in her word, and that's how she thought. And I've heard people say things like that. It's not up to God, it's up to you. It's up to us. I know that because I've been around people where that believe in healing. But good churches, there are many good churches out there that are not sure whether you'll get healed or not. They lack experience in healing. Then they don't teach healing. And so the people that are under their ministries, they have question marks about it. Now I'm saying this because we need to derail that train. And people believe according to the pattern that they've been around. So when the Lord has people that will yield to Him, fully yield to Him, people that are fighters, people that will stay in the love of God, not the novice that are getting pride, but when they get past that stage of being a novice, they endeavor and they grow and they learn of the Lord, they take Him at His word, they yield to the Holy Spirit, they ask questions to learn more, they are hungry to know more. People that do that, they activate the anointing that they're around. Whenever people are hungry, they have a hungry attitude towards the Lord to learn. Whenever somebody's speaking, if they don't look down on the person, the word said the prophet is subject to the prophet. And sometimes people are they're receiving a lot of information from the Lord. And sometimes men of God and women of God feel like, well, I'm learning and I don't really need to hear what they have to say. Now, that's pride. That is pride. The word says the prophet is subject to the prophet, and whoever's speaking, they can bless you. It doesn't matter how long they've been preaching. It doesn't matter what type of preacher they are. God can cause them to say something you need. So when people are totally surrender to the Lord and receptive, it doesn't matter who it is, the Lord can talk to you and show you another aspect that you may not be able to learn on your own. I've had that to happen so many times. They are different. In my heart, the way I govern myself is based on what I've heard from a wide variety of preachers from every denomination. I learned not to worry listening to a Methodist pastor, Reverend Rice. My daddy used to preach out of town, and I used to My sister was grown and she had moved back home. So I stayed home so I could play with my friends. And she would take me to church on Sunday. So for a few years, I went to Reverend Rice's church, Mount Moriah, over in the Avondale area. And he blessed me when he said, he gave a sermon about, a simple sermon about worry. And I saw how bad it was and how you really don't have to worry. And, you know, going to church all my life, I've seen a lot of elderly people. And a lot of them would complain and worry. They had aches and pains. They worried about this. They were, and it never did them any good. But when he did that sermon, I learned not to worry. All right. I learned things from many different people. There were Baptist preachers that said things that really brought it home to me. You know, I listened to David Jeremiah, and he did a teaching on Daniel that was just off the charts. I listened to Kenneth Hagin. He was my college. And he, you know, he had I learned to appreciate a relationship because of him and Elder Lewis and Greg Hosey. Greg Hosey was my age. We went to Refuge Temple together. And his thing was worship. He used to love to pray and he used to love to worship God. And he would usher you into God's presence like nobody I ever seen. And he was my age. But he would get off work and go home and pray for hours. And he enjoyed the Lord's presence. And I learned to do the same thing watching him. See, we affect each other. You learn different aspects from different people. A man named a preacher named Earl Evans, he said that a weak Christian can win against Satan. And it stuck with me. These are things that happen. Sometimes people say the right things at the right time. They may be your age, they may be older, younger, but they can be a blessing to you. But when people are receptive to the word and the Lord can take you, he can take you further that way. When people get in pride, then God can't open the door to give them the greater assignments. But I'm telling you, when people start yielding to the Holy Spirit and putting him first and get out of the pride phase, they drive out the Philistines. They drive out the pride, the Amalekites. You know, pride, that's like the Amalekites. You need to kill all of them and keep nothing they had. That sin was so evil. God said, kill them all, kill all their livestock, and don't take nothing from them. Burn it up. Don't even take their possessions. Leave it alone. They were that evil. He wanted all that influence destroyed. And he's the same way about pride. Every form of it. But many times people, they can't go but so far because of their pride. If the Lord is using somebody younger, they get jealous and envious and they want to leave. That's how they're treating God. And I learned this, whoever's speaking God's word, they've won a war. They won a great battle to get you that word. And you're looking at their age or their gender or their denominational background. And you're judging them as if some kind of evil spirit going to get on you if you listen to them. I've seen people act like that. Well, he don't know what he's talking. You'll be surprised what people know. You don't have to be old. Nobody would have thought that Greg Hosey would go home and pray for hours. I knew him. And he would tell me things the Lord would tell him. I said, now that's what I was looking for. He reminded me of Mom Power. And Elder Lewis used to do the same thing. He'd go to the church and pray for hours. And he learned things too. And I know I taught that a spirit of bondage came to attack his ministry. That's true. And it affected all of us. But, you know, in the Lord's presence, you can learn things and get out of it. Now, the enemy, that was not a reflection of him. That was a reflection of the enemy against his lack of knowledge. God loved him. The enemy came to attack his ministry through what he didn't know, just like the lady who died of cancer. Healing is in redemption, is in redemption, is in redemption. You can take your healing back, but you got to stand your ground. You got to be able to fight like David. And a lot of people are not taught that right. Yes, you can win. Jesus, at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus stood at by the man and said, "Will you be made whole?" Now, this is our example. If you have a terminal illness and the doctors can't help you, will you be made whole? Yeah, but that'll make people feel bad. That put pressure on people. It sure does. Will you be made whole? Will you take back what's yours? Will you survive and live? It's not up to God. Now, if you die, heaven's your home. I thank God for that. You died in the Lord. Satan didn't win after all. But your family needs you now. And I don't like to see Christians go through that. It's a lack of knowledge. But the greater miracles are coming according to the time the Lord has left. He's raising up people that will fully yield. And when he has people that will fully yield, he can give them the assignments that will make the difference. And he can give them the anointing that will make the difference. And you know, it's a lot of changes going to have to be made. The reason God can't, he don't open the door for all the creative miracles that he want to do. He do it in pockets or in the world. There are places where people have, they have pushed the envelope. They have learned. They have taken God at his word. They had nothing to lose. And God is doing creative miracles. I'm talking people that had no arm. They have an arm now. And I know two or three people that saw limbs grow. My pastor saw a man's leg grow. One was shorter than the other, and it grew the correct length. There are creative miracles out there. And people are being anointed that work them. But when this happens, people automatically look to you before they learn to look to God. And they're going to have to see people that love people. They're going to have to see people who are fully yielded to the Lord in love. People that learn to walk by faith and remain in the love of God and not so proud that they only listen to people above them. And not so proud that they look down on those who are younger or of another background. Even race. But there's a lot of sacred cows we got to turn over. We got to kill. Got to knock them over. There's a lot of Philistines we need to drive out. There's a lot of bandits we got to drive out of the town of our heart. There's a lot of weeds we got to uproot out of our garden and fully yield to the Lord. Then, my friend, you're going to see some miracles. When God has people that will be mature like that, you will see him do the greater miracles. And the more people he has that's rising up, the more you'll see it. He said that many that are first will be last. Many that are last will be first. He said that. It's happening. But he said the biggest problem is my people don't follow me. Those who are on the trek to follow God, they set their heart to obey him. They are learning and they're being prepared. Now, the Lord, the day is set. He told me that. I don't know when the rapture is going to be, but it's set. That day is going to happen just as soon as the sun come up that morning. On that day, he's coming back sometime that day, whatever that day is. And I believe it's near. And other prophets are saying things. Perry Stone said that when he was in a Jerusalem hotel, the Lord spoke to him and said that the man, the Antichrist, and the beast are alive and on the planet now. Now, he said, I don't know if that man is a baby or a child or an adult, but God said the man. Man means man, grown. So If the Antichrist, the political leader, is alive, our time is short. We don't have very long. I don't know the day or hour, but I know it's close. And I thank God for every day I wake up and do one of these broadcasts. Because Jesus said, occupy till I come. Now, that may sound crazy to some, but remember, the Lord he's in the works. He's working on people. He's moving in their lives. And I thank him for it. And he gave me other revelation, too, that I won't tell you right now. But God is moving. And I'm looking for his return. And I want to do as much as I can before he returns. Because the faster we get on board with what he's doing, the more of a difference we can make in our lives and in the lives of the ones we love. Now, people have taken sometimes we take sin too lightly and our lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge is poisonous to let it linger. You can't live with a lack of knowledge. You got to learn some things. I said in the last broadcast, Adam was like a brand new computer. But that computer's not much use to you until you put programs on it. Now, I was telling my wife just last night that the tree of life represents the programming of God, the knowledge of God, faith in him. You eat off that tree, you want more of him. You want his knowledge, his perspective, his insight, so that you can build your world to make it look like the Garden of Eden, so that you can live like him, so that you can prosper properly, so that when the storms blow, you can stand, so that when you're tempted, like we talked about in the last broadcast, we can receive enough word to live our lives. But what about the challenge that's coming? So we can receive enough word to destroy our challenges. That's what the tree of life represents. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now remember, I'm depicting Adam as a computer, a brand new laptop or a PC. And if you like Apple, he can be an Apple. He can be a Macintosh for you. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is like a virus. A virus can do some things, but it's going to steal something from you. There was nothing wrong with Adam. If he didn't eat off either tree, he'd have still been alive. But he wouldn't have been programmed. You can have a brand new, the best, fastest computer. If you don't put the programs on it, what good is it? You can always program it. Thank God for that. At least there's no viruses on it. But the programs that you download, you get the search engines. You can search the web. They have things you need. And the more programs you receive, the more valuable it is to you. Same thing with us. The more of God's word we receive in our hearts, the more valuable we become to God. Not just to God, he's already rich, but to each other. We started to show ourselves approved to help strengthen each other as one body. A lot of leaders and preachers, they're thinking about my ministry. And God will use me to bless everybody. And they ignore what can bless them because pride wants to be preeminent. Jesus said, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. You know, the Pharisees, they love prestige. Herod loved position. This is leaven. But when you can receive from people, it don't make you mad when they're younger, of another race, of another gender, of another background. When I say background, I mean doctrine. You know, sometimes holiness people or Pentecostal people, they think they're further along than denominational people such as Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, and Catholic. If a man has a relationship with God, he has a relationship with God. God can move beyond our backgrounds. We may know something that others may not. Big deal. It's what can we learn and what we do with what we learn that makes the difference. Even though they may disagree with you on key things, that's very important. Denominational churches, they don't endeavor to learn about the Holy Spirit. And it offends some of the Pentecostal people because they can't get through to them in that area. That doesn't mean that God can't use them. And there are things that we do we shouldn't do, and God still works in our lives because he loves us. So we have to get over all those foolish things. And maybe through the love of God, we operating according to the Holy Spirit, according to his wisdom, we'll win more people than repel them. In the old days, the holiness people could be so obnoxious that nobody wanted to be like them. They had all these rules. They went to church all day long. They didn't work. It was a lot of problems. But the enemy used our lack of knowledge to repel people. If we don't build with Jesus, we scatter. And the denomination of people, when they held back from receiving the Holy Spirit, they didn't build with God, and they scattered people that wanted it. And I wish that a lot of the denomination of people did receive the Holy Spirit then, because they had more wisdom sometimes. And sometimes they had more balance. Elder Lewis said once that they got the hospitals and we don't have hospitals. What's wrong? We have the Holy Spirit. We ought to have hospitals too. Well, they were more organized. But we're one body and we need to act like it. Now, we have to learn things. We can't just let things linger on. We can't let problems linger on. The Lord told, I noticed that there were days in the 90s when the Lord would give me revelation. Some people would gladly receive it and some people wouldn't go any further. They stopped and wouldn't cross the line any further. I said, Lord, why is that? He said, those are reserves. I said, what's a reserve? He said, that's what people hold back from me. That's the part of their life they won't give me. That's reserve. And I was praying, just like the lady that died. I said, Lord, why is it so hard for people to receive their healing? And the Lord had already told me that healing is easy as picking fruit. He told me that already. But this was in the same season that he said that. And I was thinking about how he said that receiving our healing is as easy as picking fruit. I said, but why don't people receive it? What's the big deal? What's the problem? What's the root cause? He said, it's allowances. I said, what's an allowance? He said, that's what people allow to continue. Because they don't know how they, the things that are, let me give you a good example. Let's do racism. Everybody know racism is evil and wrong. All right. And they know what Jesus taught, and they know it's wrong. So they decide they're not going to be a racist. But under a challenge, the influence of racism can still be there. And they don't know to drive it all the way out fully. And they can act on parts of it. And it can trouble them if they allow it. Same thing with healing. If you're not taught properly about healing, when you're under a challenge, you don't really know what to do. And it can trouble your faith. See, the way it works is, faith can be in your heart, but there can be no doubt in order for it to work. And then it works by love. So if you have love in your heart, you have faith in your heart and no doubt, and you speak God's word, it's got to happen. It's impossible for it not to happen. And if you have something against somebody, you got to forgive them or it still won't work. It's when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone. See, these are the reasons why people fail. They allow some things to linger. You can't allow the residue of the world to linger on. And some people just don't. It's not that they're being mean or evil or hypocritic or like a hypocrite. It's not that. You have to drive out the Philistines. You can't let them linger around. And you can't make deals with the Gibeonites. You have to drive them all out of your heart. Whatever you allow to remain in your heart, such as Israel, it's going to trouble your faith. All forms of doubt, unbelief, they got to be settled by the word of God. And you drive it out and you speak it out. Now, I like simple. I like getting to the root of things. When the Lord taught me about allowances, I said, what's the difference between allowances and reserve? They seem similar. He said, allowances, those are things people are not aware of. Those are things that they left by default. They didn't know to drive it out, like I'm saying. Now, I never heard any teaching on it. Never. Not even from the best. That doesn't mean that they didn't teach this. I just never heard it. And the reserves are what people hold back on purpose. Allowances people hold, people, they're like reserves. They're allowances. People just didn't fully drive it out. But reserve is what people hold back on purpose. And both of them will disturb your faith and shape the way you think and interfere with your will. So, when I learned to love people, I thought of the worst people and forgave them. And I sincerely forgave them because I saw that man was in sin and man could not do me right. Even if he wanted to, he's not going to do me perfect. He's not going to treat me fairly. And I'm not just talking about racism. I suffered through racism. But also people of my own race treated me wrong. This is beyond racism. And I went so far as to say, I said, I'm a Hamby. And slaves were given their master's last name. Now, I saw the movie Roots years ago in the 70s and how slaves lived. And that makes you upset. You know, that you're reasonable to be upset because of it. But I forgave them. I said, this is how men are. All men are like that. Every tribe has done some damage. And the original Egyptians, they were slave owners. And many other people of Africa are descendants of that race who used to be slaves. They ended up being slaves. See, sowing and reaping, that's going to go somewhere. Now, you have to, I forgave them. I said, I just forgive everybody that did me wrong. Because man is going to be contrary. I grew up in church. Even Christians can be contrary. I saw this. I said, we need Jesus. So I was motivated to forgive. I forgave everybody that hated me, everybody that did me wrong. And I loved them and prayed for them. And I was stern about it. And that helped me walk in love, which helped me to do many other things. Our heart is very important. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of it are the issues of life. Now, here's another scripture that pertains to what we're saying. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit than he that taketh a city. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. This is very important. And this is what I'm talking about. When you draw near to the Lord, he draw near to you. You receive his word. You drive out things that's not even bothering you. When it came to temptation, I learned that you don't allow any part of it to linger. You drive it out. Because I asked the Lord that's how I learned this. I was troubled with the temptations. And I didn't want women on my mind like that. And I said, Lord, show me how to get rid of it. And I did the things he showed me to do. And I would speak. I destroy those thoughts. And I would say, I hate temptation. And I said it like I meant, I hate it. And it became true. Because I said it by faith. Love was a very important part of it. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 14. Well, verse 13 says, let me go back to verse 12. He said, and I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness. This is Ecclesiastes 2, verse 12. I turn myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which has been already done. Then I saw that wisdom excels foolishness as far as light excels darkness. Verse 14, the one I'm getting to says, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And I myself perceive also that one event happens to them all. The same kind of thing that happens to a wise man will happen to a foolish man. The difference is the wise man's eyes are in his head, and he's going to do what's wise to destroy what is foolish. And he won't be captured like the man that's foolish will be captured. What the Lord has had, the theme of what God has me saying is never leave anything to happenstance. Make sure that the wrong things of this world don't interfere with the love of God you receive. Drive out every Philistine, every Amalekite, every Amorite, everything that's wrong. All lust, all pride, all doubt, all forms of unbelief. Put it far from you. Speak it out of your heart. And protect your heart. Because you're going to make decisions throughout your life, and it needs to be based on the word of God and the love of God, the kindness of God, having faith in him. I'm out of time.